844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As we await the call from the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson, if you were on the line or listening to us for the last hour and were able to hear that mother, the strength of Michelle Coleman, who lost a son like many other moms far too soon, and has found solace in attempting to make sure that other moms don't feel that same pain and go through that same heartbreak that she has. What are your thoughts? You know, I know that there are times that we think that we want to protect others constantly. Okay, let's do this. So the mayor is on the line. Hey, good morning, Mayor Johnson. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How can I not be doing great when I think the best mayor in the United States is on the line?
Hey, I appreciate that, Earl. I really do. I'm in Madison right now, getting ready to go to the Capitol to talk to some legislators about some of the challenges facing Milwaukee here. We're keeping up and keeping busy.
You know, I never had a chance to say to you that I remember the start of your political involvement here in the city of Milwaukee when you came in as a bright-eyed young man in Mayor Tom Barrett's group, and you were always impressive, but what you are doing now, I think, belies the young age of 35 years, because you kind of see a whole picture of the city. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I do. And thank you for thinking that I was as young as 35. I'm 36 now. Oh. So I'm an old man now. No, I do appreciate that. And yeah, you're right. I do have a full picture of the city, and I think it's important to have that. I had that as city council president. I had that to a degree as alderman too for the second district, because I know that even though I represented a district on the northwest side of the city, the votes that I carried forward in some respects had an impact on the entire city. And the person that I will give credit to for teaching me that, whether he knows it or not, is former city council president and current housing authority executive director, Willie Hines. I mean, he served in that position and admirably so for a decade as city council president. And I know from having relationships with Willie and talking with Willie over the years that it wasn't. He certainly represented his district, the 15th district, but he also saw the importance of what happens in the city of Milwaukee and how it affects his district. And so I carry that forward, and now as mayor, I see the entire city, and I know that we need to do things that are beneficial to the entire city of Milwaukee.
You know, Mayor Johnson, you also making some noise on the national level. You've had your foray. You were in D.C. on last week. Let's talk a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah. I have been to D.C. I think twice this month. One for the United States Conference of Mayors, and had the opportunity to have my first interview on the North Lawn of the White House back here with up front, and we talked about the issues affecting cities, Milwaukee's perception. To other mayors and other cities across the country. And believe it or not, it's really good. A number of mayors from across the country, really, from the mayors I spoke to, from Tacoma, Washington, to San Francisco, California, St. Louis, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, Rochester, New York, Miami, Florida. Everybody's got some sort of connection with Milwaukee. They know our brands, they know our businesses, they ride Harley-Davidson, they love come to Summerfest. Like, folks dig Milwaukee. Yeah, they get here, they really love Milwaukee, and I was happy to carry that forward. And the message that I carried at the Conference of Mayors 2 weeks ago was that if you want things to get done, if the Biden administration wants things to get done, then they need to send dollars directly to cities, put dollars in the hands of mayors, and we'll get projects done. Don't send them necessarily to state governments. You send them directly to us because we're the ones that actually do the work on the local level. And I think that message was heard loud and clear. In fact, the vice president also echoed that. Just last week, when I was in D.C., I had the opportunity to speak on a panel at the White House, and the vice president came to be on a panel right afterward in the same room, and we were talking about accelerating lead service level replacement in Milwaukee and some other communities that have this relationship with the federal government now. And so we're utilizing the relationships that we have with our federal partners, especially the Biden administration, the bipartisan infrastructure law, to advance things on the ground that are important for Milwaukee. Certainly moving lead service laterals out of the ground because of the health hazard that they pose, but then also putting us in a position to create good paying jobs on top of that for folks who live in neighborhoods that are affected.
You know, Mayor, you and I have a lot in common, and one thing we certainly have in common is understanding the impact of working with children when they're young and preparing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. I am so pleased to partner with you, Earl, and our partners in workforce development, Shakina Brown at Employ Milwaukee, Dr. Posley over at Milwaukee Public Schools, Governor Julie Evers, who came in this last year and funded the Camp Rise program that we got off the ground. And really, you know, with your leadership and direction, we were able to make an impact on literally hundreds of young men, young Black boys, young men of color in Milwaukee. And, you know, I've said before, you know, at the initial press conference when we were launching the program, these are young men who are seeking that will not need course correction later in life, because we're making those investments on the front end right now. And just the other day, as a matter of fact, the day that I flew back in from D.C., I went down to a Bucks game because they're getting all these great experiences that, unfortunately, and all too often, kids who live in Channel neighborhoods don't get to have. So they were down at Pfizer Forum, many of them for the first time in their lives. And they got to see these champions that we have in the Milwaukee Bucks, who are put on a great show and obviously, you know, run the game too. But it's about providing experiences and growth for those kids. And your leadership helped to make that happen. And I'm, you know, grateful to you. And I know those families are too.
You know, and so you're on your way to Madison, and so we're having, you know, sometimes going in and out. But I would be remiss, Mayor Johnson, if I didn't say that I am honored. I've seen a lot of mayors in the city. I've been around a while, but there's something special about you and the fact that you are a man who is not going to be held back. You also understand that Milwaukee is not the only city that's experiencing the issues that we are experiencing. It is across urban centers across the nation.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the conversations that I had with mayors at the U.S. Conference of Mayors recently, is that, you know, the challenges that we face in Milwaukee are not unique here. Everybody is seeing, you know, the issues that we've seen in terms of homicides and those numbers that have been shattered. In some communities, you know, the numbers were precipitously higher than what we've seen in Milwaukee. I mean, even this, you know, issue around car thefts and things like that, Kias and Hyundais being stolen and the like. Other cities have experienced the same sort of things. So all of us are working to you know, dig out from, you know, whatever sort of challenges that the pandemic brought on, and trying to come up with new strategies to address the situation. Now, I was able to educate a number of the mayors on the things that we have implemented since I've been in this office to tackle the issue of reckless driving. We I educated leaders in the fact that, you know, we're suing people that drive recklessly. We're towing vehicles now with this new technology that's basically the Uber for tows to make sure the police officers are still able to be out there on the street. When a tow needs to commence. We're working to make sure that obviously we have the traffic safety unit that was launched a couple years ago to be active. We're bringing in the state patrol to patrol in the city of Milwaukee, which, you know, historically they don't do that in Milwaukee County. So we're doing a lot of things to address the issue. I mean, not to mention the investments that, you know, I've directed departments to make, because I declared reckless driving a public safety crisis my first day in office. And so we've invested millions and millions of dollars to have infrastructure improvements across the city to tackle the issue of reckless driving. And I was able to educate mayors on all of those things because, you know, it's for us to think we're farther ahead than some folks, some leaders across the country are. So folks are able to learn from us, and I was able to learn because I think sometimes we get so insulated that the challenges that we face are not unique just to Milwaukee. They're just not.
So, Mayor, I know you got to go, but I want to thank you very much for taking this time out, carving out some time for us. We certainly look forward to the day that you and I sit across from one another in this studio and talk about a plethora of things. Last thing, you met with, was it the Department of Justice or somebody recently who nationally who was going to and help support Milwaukee in dealing with the crime here?
Yeah, we met with the United States Marshal Service. So their leader came to Milwaukee, and we had the opportunity to talk about some of the services that the Marshal Service is able to provide to assist law enforcement. We talked about, some of the successes that Crime Stoppers here in Milwaukee has been able to do successfully with closing some cases on the ground here. And I think there's the makings of a really strong partnership, law enforcement partnership, with the Marshal Service and utilizing their resources to, again,
well, thank you,
folks who are doing bad things in neighborhoods.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great remainder of your day, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, Ralph.
All right. Thank you. That is Mayor Cavalier Johnson of the city of Milwaukee. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And I want to thank Mayor Cavalier Johnson for finding a few minutes in his busy schedule to spend with us. We're going to have him on in the studio because I would say that you should write down his name because he's a young man destined for national office, and no question whatsoever, he's a graduate of UW-Madison, but more than anything else, at such a young age, he's a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks. Again, another person not born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but has been able to overcome adversity and handle it with aplomb. I want to go back, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. If you heard my interview with Michelle Coleman, who is the mother of Cade Reddington, a young man who lost his life on November 4th from fentanyl poisoning, you know, the fact that she had to listen to a talk show host ridicule, you know, her son and her, and was so callous of a person and arrogant that he could not have any compassion whatsoever for a mother who lost her son. And so to him, you know, being on the airways and talking about, you know, who he is and looking to, you know, protect the fact that they want to make sure that Republicans remain in leadership on the state Supreme Court level, never mind what this mother has gone through and her family has gone through and is going through. No compassion, heartless, but that's who he is. That's who Dan O'Donnell is. That's who he's always been. I know, I've listened to him, and yet there are people who will support that foolishness, support that heartlessness, because he could care less about anything other than that Republicans retain the state Supreme Court power. To me, it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. And that's at the root of what is wrong with part of what's wrong with this country and why we can't, seem to work things out that need to be worked out. Because a person who's like that, who's on the airwaves and who can't find compassion in him because he doesn't have any in him, and so that's the kind of person that they are looking for in those kinds of environments, and those are the kinds of people that they put on the airwaves. Make no mistake whatsoever, that mother needed to be heard. She had every right to feel the way she's feeling. She lost her child that she'll never see again at the tender age of 18. And she's heard stories from friends about how the last days and last few minutes of her son's life. You gotta, you know, if you don't have any compassion for her, we have to check and see whether or not you have a heart. Because, again, the fact that somebody's running for the state Supreme Court should not supersede what's right and what's wrong. And if you listen to me for a moment, at any point in time, you know that always at the root of my thoughts are always what's right and what's wrong. This is not Democrat or Republican. It's what's right or what's wrong. And this, the handling of it, is wrong. Stinks to high heaven. If it was anybody else, my phone lines would be lit up. Because I know you were listening. And many of you don't want to hear what you heard. Because you've already made up your mind that's who you're going to vote for. And that's all right. Because in this country, you have a right to that. But for heaven's sakes, you also are a person who, you know, who's listened to that. And maybe you're torn. You know, maybe as a mom, you could feel the pain. You certainly could. Of this mom, of Michelle Coleman. I don't know how you couldn't. Or this family. I don't know how you couldn't. All they want is an opportunity to hear the truth. Let's bring Michael on from Delafield. Good morning to you, Michael. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. Okay, hang on. Okay, so let's do this. What are your thoughts? 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm really interested in what your thoughts are. Is he ready, Connor?
Yeah, he is. Okay. We're going to break now, though.
Oh, it's break time. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Hang on, Michael. Hang on, Larry. Our phone number's open again, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. For the rest of the show, it's yours. It's your time. Let's go to the phone lines and Michael from Delavan. Hey, good morning to you, Michael. Thank you very much for call. Thank you very much for listening. You say what, sir?
First off, I just wanted to send condolences out to the mother. I can only imagine the amount of grief that she's currently going through, and unfortunately, as you had mentioned, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are giving less than comforting comments, you know, about regarding, you know, son's lifestyle and choices made. I mean, at the end of the day, only 18 died tragically, and definitely deserves the answers. And yeah, anybody that has anything to say otherwise about it, obviously they really don't care about what the overall issue is. And just to immediately be on the attack against somebody and just, you know, somebody's son died, the first thing out of your mouth would be, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss."
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly the case. But, you know, Dan O'Donnell and what he does and the stick that they do, you know, in that type of radio is to attack and not have any compassion whatsoever. And clearly, it's more important that, you know, Republicans maintain the control over the state Supreme Court than this poor woman's loss of her son's life. And you can't say that the mom is not deserving of some answers. That's all she's asking for.
Yeah, and I don't see why she's being basically stonewalled on this. I mean, you would think that, I mean, her son passed away, so now she is going to be on the hunt for the answers, and you would think that at the very least they would want to give her some answers just so that, you know, their family is not essentially feeling attacked. But, you know, just, you know, hey, if there was nothing that was going on, then that's all that there is to it. And if something else was going on, but their son wasn't involved, then assist in the investigation and do the proper judicial thing and assist with the investigation. And to stonewall it on that, it's just like, well, as she's bringing up too, is, okay, what about other issues that come up? Are you just going to bury it to the bottom of the list and just only worry about the ones that you think matter? I mean, that's not somebody that I want, you know, in the courts.
Hey, Mike, well said. Thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. Let somebody know about us. Let's go to line two and Ray from Pewaukee. Good morning to you, sir. How are you? You say what?
Fine, Earl. Thank you for taking my call. This whole case, what bothers me is the fact that it's been under investigation for almost a year now, and there's, you know, and apparently Mrs. Doyle's son is not cooperating, not talking to the police. He's got an attorney, and it just seems like I'd be concerned that as a judge, you know, working in the criminal justice system, you know, she got some relationship with a district attorney or something, that the kid, according to what was in Bryce's Journal Sentinel article, I mean, I would have thought the kid would have been at least interrogated, if not charged, with with selling the drug. That sure sounds like it. And why that hasn't been done is my biggest concern. that, you know, if it was your son or my son, the kid would probably be in jail right now.
Yeah.
That's, you know, especially if he was black like you. I mean,
you know, Ray, all this mom is asking for is some answers, right? And she's entitled to that, right?
Very, very much so. Very much so. It's unbelievable to me that this has dragged on as long as it has, and I'm sure this is just tearing her apart, you know, to see nothing happening, you know.
Well, you know, at the root of it, my friend, is politics. And thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let somebody know about us. Let's go to Gene from Eau. Hey, good morning. Good to hear from you as always, Gene. You say what?
Oh, good morning, Earl. Thank you so much for that interview. We don't get a lot of that information on my side of the state. Heartbreaking, horrifying for what mom had to go through. And the facts are that this was going on before she said something about before she was even on court TV, you know, and innocence, the way that, you know, that the father saw him, you know, when he was out to eat. This wasn't an attack on the judge. And anybody that tries to paint it that way is deceptive and cruel.
Well, you know, that's the way they're painting it, right?
Yes, they are. Yes. But you know what? I'm not surprised, Earl. These people have no sense of humanity. And on the highest court, the court of last resort in the state of Wisconsin, where this is a 10-year position, when a person can't deal with the truth and fact and fact-finding of a person who loses their life, should not, in my opinion, should not even be thinking about a court like this or any court whatsoever. She needs to get her business attended to for all kids and all students. I mean, boy, you brought up a lot of points that I wasn't aware of, Earl. You know, to trace these drugs, find out who in the devil's getting these drugs to the people that are getting them, to the college kids and the young people and other people out on the streets. I mean, this is significant. This is more important than her son. This is to prevent other deaths. So thank you, Earl. Just outstanding as usual. I appreciate everything that you have to teach us, and I hope everybody learns something new from this. And the mother, oh, you're in my prayers. You're a beautiful, brave woman who loves her son, and we will always remember that.
Hey,
thank you, Earl.
Hey, Gene, I feel your humanity, as always. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to CJ. CJ.
Yeah, my prayers and thoughts and go out to this mom. But I also want to point out that this son is one of 300 a day that has been dying from fentanyl coming over.
Hey, CJ. I'm not going to let you do what you always do, start talking about Joe Biden and the border and all of that. It has nothing to do with the fact that this young man lost his life and this case that we're talking about. If you want to talk about the mom who just spoke and her thoughts on why she can't get answers, you're welcome. But I'm not going to let you twist this about what's going on at the border. Your thoughts on what you heard from that mom about this case, fine. But we're not going back to La La Land. We're talking about this case.
You call it La La Land, but it's reality. He's one of 300 a day,
all right,
Earl.
Cut him off.
And
we're not going there. I told you, we're not going there. You're not going to steal the direction of where we're going with this program. It's not the CJ show. It's the Earl Ingram show. And enough of you coming in and trying to change the trajectory of what this conversation is. Everybody else knows what it is, and that's what they're following You're not any special than anybody else, and we're not going to let you take it somewhere else. Hey, Rico, how you doing, man? From Rock County. Your thoughts, sir?
Hey, Earl, how you doing? Yeah, my heart just goes out to this this woman. But, you know, Earl, I got to call this out for what it really is, and I think we all know that. This is the good old boy network of Wisconsin, alive and well, covering for one of their own.
Yes.
And Dan O'Donnell is part of that network. The man doesn't utter anything out of his mouth that isn't racist. And this is the biggest problem I had with the senator's race in Wisconsin. There is no way any political leader should be on television with policemen on either side of them. Them policemen represent and are paid for by all of us. There is no way they should be on television promoting or in any way involved in any kind of political race. But this is the good old boy network covering up our one of their own, and it makes me sick. Thank you, Earl.
Hey, thank you. Man, thank you very much for the call, as always, Rico. Let's go to Evan. Evan, where are you from?
Hold on.
Oh, okay. So while we await that, listen, and if for those who think I was harsh on CJ, look, man, you know, I give him a chance. I give him more of an opportunity than anybody else, anywhere else he calls. But nobody is going, he's not going to, we can't have the dialogue that we're attempting to have, including everybody. If he comes in constantly with the same modus operandi, and chooses to switch the conversation, right? That's what he does. Let's go to Steven from Green Bay. Hey, it's good to hear Green Bay caller, and we're there now, and I'm happy to be there. And Stephen, before we go there, we've got a special hour every Monday from 8 a.m. that you should listen to and have everybody you know in Green Bay listen. I guarantee you, you're going to love it. Stephen, good morning to you. What do you say, sir?
Good morning, Earl. It's nice to hear you up here in Northeast Wisconsin. Before this station launched, all we had was a conservative talk station up here, and it's nice to actually get a different viewpoint up here. But I really want to talk about this mother.
Yes, sir.
Who lost her son to fentanyl. It's becoming a horrible problem, not only just in, you know, the state of Wisconsin, but all over the place. And what I really want to say is these, you know, Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, I don't know how they can run in good faith knowing that they have, you know, bigger issues to take care of other than, you know, trying to insert themselves on the bench. It's heartbreaking. It really shows that politics is more important to this person than humanity, in my opinion. And my heart breaks for not only the individual that was affected, but the mother who is desperately trying to get justice. So I just wanted to send my condolences to that family.
You know, Stephen, you and I are of the same opinion. There's no question whatsoever that we are, because that opinion is based on what's right. Right? I mean, come on. It's and what's just. And what's just is that This poor mother needs and is asking to find out why, and that's the right thing. But to hold that away from her for political reasons is part of the reason that we're in the problems, dealing with the problems that we're dealing with now. Stephen, thank you very much for listening, man. Thank you very much for calling. Let somebody know we're here. And I guarantee you start next Monday, man, 8 o'clock. You guys in Green Bay need to be listening to my 8 o'clock hour, 8 to 9 every Monday. And you'll never, ever miss it again. Got to go to a break, 844-9. Go ahead, quickly.
I just also want to say she's also applied for a permit for an open gun range where she will be serving alcohol. So that just shows how reckless this person is.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen, you know, I am honored by the people who are listening, who take the time out to listen. I'm honored by the fact that I am a part of civic media, that somehow people think that I have something of value to say. I am an average guy. I'm the average Joe who bases his beliefs and that they have to be rooted in some value and it based on a moral reality that I live in my life on a daily basis. And anybody who knows me will tell you that that's factual. It's not something that I portray on the air. So when people see me in real life, they always say, you're just like the guy that's on the air. Yeah, I'm 100% the guy who's sitting here in this studio. I'm not making anything up. It's who I am. It's how I live my life. And so when I bring a person on like Miss Michelle Cullerman, it is because my heart was breaking when I was talking to her. And the fact that she somehow could be dismissed, you know, by somebody like Dan O'Donnell, who plays a role, right? I get it. Everybody who comes on the airways doesn't reveal who they really are, but I do. And everybody doesn't have to, but I do. And so, you know, I would never, whether somebody's a Democrat or a Republican, rich or poor, minimize the pain that somebody is going through for ratings. But we've got people who are like that. And that's, you know, that's what they do. But we don't do that here at Civic Media. Every one of the hosts at Civic Media really are concerned about what happens to people, what happens to the state, what happens to the city where you are from, and what happens in this country. That is what makes us different from all other radio stations that's out there. And we are going to have a major impact because I know I've listened to radio for over 40 years of my life. And I've listened to that chatter. And I've listened to people playing games, right? Playing politics. And that's what they do. And so they get up every morning and they come on and they're, you know, they're full of lies. And they just want to control people's thoughts. That's not what we do at Civic Media. That's certainly not what I do. I'm going to continue to reach out to people from the humanistic position of things, because the truth of the matter is, what other position is there? Right? That we all have in common. And so we're going to work from that perspective every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, here at Civic Media, and the owners of Civic Media, who have put this wonderful, wonderful vehicle together that I am honored to be able to come before you daily. I tell you, as we move forward, you can rest assured that I'm going to be bringing great guests, local, national, international. This tomorrow is the beginning of Black History Month, and many of you may not know it, but the city from where I'm from, the city of Milwaukee, you may know the story of Selma, Alabama, and what transpired with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement and all of that. But Milwaukee, city where I came from, was and still live today, was called the Selma of the North. If you know about the Selma of the South, you'll be amazed to hear stories about the Selma of the North, Milwaukee. And so across the state, you'll be hearing excerpts and people who were there who will bring you the story of what was happening in the state of Wisconsin, the city of Milwaukee during the civil rights struggles, in which I am a part of. But anyway, it's been just a good morning. I want to thank Judge Everett Mitchell, the Honorable Judge Everett Mitchell, who is a candidate for the state Supreme Court, for spending time with us this morning out of his busy schedule. I want to thank again Ms. Michelle Coleman, who told a heart-rending story. Then we're going to have her on again about where she is and what's happening in her life and her family's life after the tragic loss of her son. Then we were joined by my good friend, the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Mr. Cavalier Johnson, who is going to be joining us again and again and again. And more than anything else, thank you, because we could not do this without you. The fact that you take time out of your busy schedule to listen to me and to listen to Civic Media and 540 AM WAIK and all of what we offer you is what makes it all possible. And I'm going to continue to get stronger the more I hear from you. So it's not my show. It's your show. And you can always text us or go on the site and let me know if there's subjects that you think I should handle or I should talk about. And we're willing to do that because it's not about me. Unlike many of the other stations, it's not about me. It's about you. Gotta go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Connor. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Have a great day. See you later.